Welcome to the DNA Talks podcast, where we take on the mission of unlocking the code of your genetics. This season is all about you, upgrading your health, not just on the surface, but down to the root cause. Join us as your clinicians at the DNA Company investigate your DNA and beyond. The intention of this podcast is to enhance your lifestyle by changing what is in your control. This does not substitute the medical advice given by your personal doctor, therapist, and other healthcare professionals.
All right, folks, welcome to today's podcast. My name's Justin. I should be a familiar face to you, hopefully. I'm a functional genomics practitioner with the DNA Company. I'm part of the in-house clinician team. So my job is to interpret people's DNA and kind of help create healthcare plans. Right, going over all these different things, your micronutrients, your macronutrients, all the stuff that your DNA can tell me about you. And over again, within my practice, we talk a lot about toxins. You know, it comes up. In my opinion, every health problem people have, there's some kind of an inflammatory element. There's some kind of a toxic element in there. And genetically, over and over again, I'm finding myself talking about these different ways that the body takes in toxins, right? Like we take them in via our diet, we take them in the water we drink, right? It's kind of everywhere. So we live in a world of toxins. And one area that we take in a lot of toxins that I don't think gets talked about enough is just from within the household, right? The air that we breathe. We take, 20,000 breaths a day, 22,000 breaths a day, something like that. So I mean, if you think that there's this kind of, you know, slow intake all day long of toxins, of course, it's going to increase that cumulative toxin load and it can create any number of problems. Mold, right? All these different things, in my opinion, is a very relevant factor. So finding ways to kind of mitigate that can really help to expand your life. So today I'm here with the man from HypoWare. We are going to be talking about ways to kind of help transform your home and get it back into more of an ancestrally appropriate place to live, you know, ways to lower the toxin load within your own home. So I'm here with David from HypoWare. Welcome, buddy.
I want to like copy paste that intro because that was a really good framing of the conversation. We often say that air quality is one piece of the puzzle. For some people, it's a really big piece. For other people, it's more preventative, but yeah, I mean, we breathe about a swimming pool every day. So whatever is in that air, you know, our lungs, obviously, our skin, for some people, it's got to be a really big issue. A lot of times you can't smell, you can't see these things. It's hard to quantify them a lot of times. But when people are connecting how they feel with their environment, that can lead to a lot of relief. But yeah, the other thing that we face, and this is one of the things that drew us to you guys, is it's the norm for our clients to have a very unique experience in their house.
Right.
Like that is absolutely the norm. And sometimes we get like parent, child, children reacting similarly, but a lot of our clients feel like the crazy person, you know, like, so they're the one person in the apartment that's highly reactive, or they're the one person in the house that every time they go in the shower, they're very reactive. So something unique is going on in that person that is making them more susceptible to those toxins, whether there's the genes or there's other things going on in them. And so, yeah, for us to give our clients more insight on what's going on in their own body is huge to us. But like you said, our indoor environments are very unnatural,
yeah,
very synthetic. Modern construction is kind of this grand experiment that we're all living right now. And so what we're finding is the indoor air is very, like you're seeing like high concentrations of things that you're going to naturally find outside, but the concentrations inside are overwhelming the body, like mold. And a lot of times the homes themselves are basically built to facilitate mold growth. And so if your body's constantly being overwhelmed with that, sometimes that's why you're sleeping bad. Maybe it's you're watching too much news, but like sometimes that piece is, can be really big. And yeah, for a lot of our people, they've gone through the food, reducing toxins in food,
yep,
reduce toxins in water. And then air is kind of this like distant third. There's a lot of weird stuff in the air purifier industry, a lot of really expensive stuff that doesn't work. So there's a really bad rap for a lot of the industry in general. And it is complicated. So that makes it a tough conversation. But we really want people to get to know their own home, you know, figure out the structural issues that might be contributing to those problems, and then find practical ways to address them.
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. And, you know, with stuff like mold, you're exactly right. It's so difficult to identify, right? Because I say the same thing with gut health with people. I'm like, you know, the problem isn't necessarily a stomach ache, right? If something's wrong with your gut, it might be brain fog, it might be joint pain, it might be skin problems, any number of things, right? And with mold, it seems like the list, you know what I mean? Like the potential of symptomology is so varied that, yeah, people don't even necessarily point to it as often as maybe they should. In your mind, how relevant is that? Like, is mold more common than maybe we would like to think that it is?
I mean, statistically, it's about 100% of homes have mold, but it's how much do they have?
Right.
And so concentration, like the dosage is the poison here for sure.
Yeah.
And then the people involved. But even from a set health aside for a moment, just from a financial standpoint, remediating your home from mold is incredibly expensive. And we work with people in environments where their house is basically guaranteed to have mold growth. But then if you're constantly being exposed to that, especially in like your bedroom where you're sleeping, both the living spores, the dead spores, the mycotoxins, the off-gassing VOCs, we have a lot of clients with just horror stories of how it's affecting them. And I'm sure it's just one thing of many. Sometimes it may be like the main one, but we hear the horror stories every day. So it's a little hard. Our perspective is skewed because we see like 80% of our clients are probably in those kind of in the worst scenarios. And then maybe 20% it's more preventative.
Yeah.
We're trying to get ahead of the problem, which is great. But we see really horrendous stories where people's lives have been derailed, both, you know, physically and then financially. You know, you can't just burn your house down every 2 years and start over.
Yeah.
So like we have to find a way to modify our existing structures.
Yeah.
To make them, you know, combat things like chemicals in the air, mold, you know, particulates, these things that we're trapping inside.
Yeah.
We want to reintroduce those natural processes that are found outside indoors. So you can suppress and deal with those things with mold where it wants to grow. So even if your house is built to code, there's no leaks, you might be in a place where the humidity is just perfect for mold to grow. And you might have an HVAC system that's a damp, dark environment. And over time, it's going to grow. And on the flip side, we have people that they just built a platinum lead home. And then within 2 months, the attic, which was not insulated properly, has black mold. And that's where their HVAC system is. So it's like these are, you know, it's part of the modern construction where we're sealing up our buildings really tight for energy efficiency.
Mm.
But then if mold in all of our houses, it can take root because the environment is perfect for it. The materials we're using are perfect for it. And you get a little bit of dampness, it can go crazy. And so, yeah, it's not, we don't want to be anything close to scaring people, but like the scale is really off balance right now with how unnatural our indoor environments are. And mold is the single, by far, leading issue for residential air quality issues that we see. By
far. Right.
Yeah,
that's the thing, right? It's like we have all these great things that have come as a result of like post-industrial living, you know, and it's like, yeah, we're more comfortable, we're more efficient. There's a lot of things going on, but man, it's tough to deny that there has been some serious, you know, side effects, some serious byproducts of that. So it's so funny, right? Like our own efficiency, our own sapien, you know, just that way that we are with making things better. We've always got this other side, this other downside. I am fascinated with the concept of kind of restoring that ancestral, you know, wisdom, right? Because part of my health coaching process prior to functional genomics was all primal, right? All about ancestral health and really returning to that kind of Homo sapien lifestyle, you know? So really the goal, I guess, would be, can we get our biology back to that, but still have modern comforts like Netflix?
Yeah.
All the things we
sure.
We fix the circadian rhythm issues of blue light on screens? You know, can we do these things? And that's, I think, what I was most interested in when I started perusing your website. You know, right on the mm-hmm. front page, it starts talking about making your home more natural again, like with mm-hmm. all these different kind of products. And how much worse is the air inside than outside? I mean, of course, there's pollution outside and things like that.
Yeah.
With everything you just said, if you had to put a number on it, what do you think? Like, is it twice as bad? Is it three times as bad?
The CDC is, it's like a long time status, 3 to 5 times as worse. as a broad average. So 3 to 5 times with 90% of our time spent indoors. Like to what you said, we have an article on our site that looks back at ancient building methods. And it's really interesting to see how some of the processes that they used were killing mold and were like actively improving the air. Now we have clients that live in the woods and it's beautiful and they've got great air quality and they can open the window.
Yeah.
And we have clients that live next to a train station downtown with the port nearby.
Yeah.
And they're sharing walls and floors with other neighbors that are making their own choices. So the air is going to be really dynamic. So the air inside and outside is going to be changing a lot.
Yeah.
You might not have a lot of particulates. You might have a lot of chemicals. You might have very low chemicals. You have a lot of mold. So there's a lot of elements to it. But yeah, that outdoor air, there's so many processes naturally taking place outside to purify the air.
Yeah.
And then inside, we see those very unnatural concentrations of things. And that's like the chemicals. That's like the mold.
Yeah.
And we're trapping them inside. And then in most homes, there's nothing that's taking them out. So, you know, even something like cooking. So cooking on a stove, a lot of houses, including a client I just talked to today, there's no vent at all in the kitchen. And so the things that you're cooking, you are adding chemicals and particulates to that kitchen air. And then they're sealing up the home because it's cold. And so you're trapping those things in. So even just the process of cooking can contribute to that poor air quality. And then there's nothing to take care of it. So there's little to no filtration, let alone other processes to take care of something like a chemical.
Yeah, I see the same thing, I guess, about Wi-Fi and stuff like that. It's like, you know, if you're really immersed in an environment with all this Wi-Fi and there's no way for your body to like, there's nothing else for your body to like resonate with. So I think it makes it worse. Whereas like, let's say you have your phone on you, but you're walking on some woodsy, you know, path in the Alpines, that Wi-Fi is not going to overtake your cells in the same way. You know what I mean? It's not going to be as bad because you're surrounded by so many natural frequencies that at least it's like a half and half thing, you know? So it makes sense that even if there's pollution outside, you're still getting like kind of a balance because of the trees, right? You're getting natural oxygen and things as well. So
yeah.
What do you think?
And it's just changing so much too. Yeah. It's like during rush hour in a city, the particulates might be 50 times worse than an hour before. So it's changing a lot. And then we would recommend, say, don't go running on a road during rush hour, because now you're consuming even more of that. Now, not everyone has those choices. They're trying to be healthy. I remember, this just jogged my memory, but back in kind of the heart of COVID craziness, there was a photo in San Francisco of like the red sky from the wildfires. And then you had CrossFit people exercising on the sidewalk because they weren't allowed to be inside downtown in rush hour. So these people are exercising as hard as they can to be healthy.
Yeah.
You've got this red sky and rush hour on the sidewalk. And it's like, is there a net positive there? I don't know. But there's definitely a lot of consumption of bad air quality.
It's a tricky sword for sure, man. I know a lot of CrossFit people and they're just like that. You're not going to talk those people out of that.
Not going to slow them down, right?
Yeah, definitely not, man.
Yeah, it's kind of like... Sorry, the law of unintended consequences, though,
you know,
where it's like we're doing things to improve something.
Yeah.
And then that indoor environment gets out of whack. So one of the examples we give a lot is ozone. Mm-hmm. You go on a mountain in Alaska, you're breathing ozone.
Yeah.
But it's a really small amount. So if you use ozone indoors, you have to use such an unnatural concentration that anyone with sensitivities in general is going to be very reactive to that ozone.
Right.
So yeah, you find it outside, but it's in really small amounts and our body can handle it. No problem. But when you start to pump too much of that thing inside, well, now our bodies don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
Or they're reacting or there's negative consequences. Just like you could put too much oxygen in the air. That's not likely, but you know, you could. And so, yeah, that's why we kind of go back to our golden rule. What's happening outside? How can we replicate those things inside?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, there's not many options because you're just either going to have to be constantly or frequently remediating. So physically cleaning and removing stuff, but you're constantly being exposed to them.
Yeah. It's like you said, right? The dosage makes the poison. I think that's like a perfect analogy there. Like, you can have too much of anything. And even with the exercise conversation, it's like, yeah, we're kind of, it's a hormetic stress. Like, let's try to find the right amount for you and not overdo it. And I think ozone and all these things are kind of in the same boat. And with your products, right, as I was perusing the website, I was like, man, there's a lot more going on here than just like HEPA filtration, you know, because I think everybody is familiar with a HEPA filter and there's the particle sizes and different things going on. As I was looking at your products, you know, there's talking about the six different kind of technologies that they'll put into some of these different products, as well as, like, you know, you mentioned HVAC systems. Like, you guys have products that will actually turn an HVAC system more into a full household kind of an air filter. Can we go into that a little bit, like the polar ions and different things you guys do?
Sure. Yeah. So, like, at our heart, we're more of an R&D company. We're trying not to just do what everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
And so HEPA, people know, because that's a buzzword that people buy. A lot of people probably couldn't tell you what it is or what's good about it, but it's become like, oh, that's the thing. HEPA is one standardized system for a mechanical filter. It's one type of standardized system. And really, it's only as good as how much air you can force through it and at a noise level that you can handle. So if you go out and buy a $1,000 HEPA plug-in air purifier and run that thing on turbo speed, sounds like a jet engine.
Yeah. An
average home's HVAC system is probably moving 5 to 10 times as much air silently.
Right.
And so some of this comes down to scale. It's not that it's not a good thing, but if you had that $1,000 HEPA purifier in the master, and then the master bathroom has humidity issues and mold growing, there's very little chance that that HEPA is going to stop the spread of that mold in the bathroom. There's just not enough volume of air. It can't suck everything across the room and into it. If you look at, like, the air dynamics that go around a ceiling fan, it probably moves 4,000 to 10,000 CFM of air, cubic feet per minute. That $1,000 HEPA air purifier probably moves 300 to 600. And not all the air lines up to go through that ceiling fan. So it's kind of acting like a vacuum for your air. And for people with sensitivities that are reacting to their environment, we absolutely say, if you can afford it, get a HEPA for the bedroom, but you want to look at the specs, like, what grade of HEPA is it? It's not super duper hyper HEPA. Don't forget about all that. That's just marketing fluff. You want to look for a number, like an H11, H12, H13, H14, ULPA 15, you know? So, like, you want to look for these numbers and then how much air is going through it and the noise, because that's the only thing that's going to affect it. But yeah, so us, we're wanting to modify existing structures to make them more naturally like the outside. So current homes are built very poorly. And so if you have central air, we want to convert that huge blower into the air purifier. And we want to kill mold inside the HVAC where it wants to grow before it grows, but then also leverage the power of that system to purify the air throughout the house. And we'd much rather that. You mentioned Wi-Fi a few times. We don't want electronics in every room. We don't want added noise in every room, you know, EMF in every room. Sometimes that's the solution. Sometimes you do have to have plug-in units, but we would rather it be further away from you, so it's quiet, it's not adding light, noise, or anything else, but it's leveraging a much larger blower. So, like, this diameter of a fan basically affects how effective it is. And we would rather use that system to purify the air throughout the house because of the scale. You know, it has so much more power moving through that system. But then also that's the root of the problem. Because, like, a lot of people, you know, you move into a house, and, like, biohackers too, you know, they buy this new home, it's really cool, they spent millions on it, and they've spent six figures on biohacking equipment, and they have never changed the filter in their HVAC system for 3 years.
Yeah.
That's, like, we hear that kind of stuff a lot. Because, like, no one ever told them, like, hey, this HVAC system, if you don't take care of it, it's going to be pumping out bad air into your face, basically. Yeah. And so, like, let's take care of those, like, root systems, and then that will lead to a healthier home long term. And so part of it is, like, we have over 250, like, free articles on our site that, like, dig into, like, niche issues. Because if you have, like, my colleague maybe 2-3 weeks ago helped someone identify that their water heater did not have a functioning vent. So literally poisonous gases are making them sick. You could purify that, but it'd be better to fix the vent. So we'd rather exhaust those chemicals instead of trying to purify them in the air. And so sometimes it's getting to know your own house and trying to address those structural issues that we're either not to code or the code is wrong and the code is going to contribute to bad air quality for you. So yeah, it's tricky, but yeah, so sorry, that's a long-winded answer. We use lots of different technologies.
Yeah.
We're trying to think out of the box. How can we more naturally deal with these contaminants inside in a way that's practical? Most people can't spend $5,000 to $6,000 on a bunch of HEPA purifiers and then $2,000 to $3,000 a year in filters and still have mold problems in their HVAC. So we got to be practical and then also find ways that are effective. So you can buy HEPA from a lot of places. You can get it at Costco. But what we're trying to do is change things. And so that's why with our pool ionization, that's the same process you're going to find outside. The air purifier space is kind of branded ionizing as this broad term, but it actually means a lot of different things. In nature, there's all kinds of ionization that's taking place. But in the air purifier space, negative oxygen ionization is unnatural. You're not going to find just negative polarity outside. And a lot of times, if you only produce negative, you're going to end up with ozone and static. You're going to be building up static. So with polar ionization, we're splitting water into the positive hydrogen, negative oxygen, and then that goes back together. So there's no net gain or loss of water. We're not adding into anything to the environment. We're just replicating that same process that takes place outside. And then those ions are able to kill things like mold on surfaces that are exposed to the air, mold in the air. It's able to help with the particulates. It's able to help with the off-gassing VOCs. So it's a technology that can provide efficacy indoors to suppress something like mold where it wants to grow. And so we'd love to be preventative. Again, most of our clients, they're in like the deep like trenches of dealing with this.
Yeah.
So we're trying to undo those problems. But as much as we could, we'd love to be preventative. And our background is like with commercial clients, hospitals, you know, sewage plants, casinos, you know, restaurants, things like that. And we kind of got tired of working with these giant corporations. And just like one analogy is we have an award-winning product that goes inside of commercial ice machines. A ice machine, statistically, in a restaurant is dirtier than the toilet water of that same restaurant, the public toilet water. And these systems are just designed to fail. You know, it's a damp, constantly damp, dark environment. They open the top and then all the yeast from baking bread, all the cooking, everything gets in there. And after a couple months, sometimes less, it is so covered with green slime that it no longer functions. Mm. So they have to turn it off and pay for someone to come in and clean it. Well, they don't want to pay for someone to clean it. So they install our technology to save money.
Yeah.
They don't care that it's growing slime all the time.
Yeah.
But we would rather not to be growing slime. We don't want those biological contaminants getting in there, finding a home, and then constantly reproducing at the source of the ice. So from a residential perspective, we want to use that same technology in the HVAC to suppress the growth of those biologicals before it becomes a problem. And then you're getting the benefits of, yeah, you don't have to clean it potentially, but you're getting the cleaner air, which to someone it's their home, that's a huge benefit. Yeah, so that's one technology. But we use other technologies for different applications. There's no silver bullet in air quality. Mm-hmm. There's no like easy answer to a lot of this. The polar ionization is really strong against biologicals and particulates, but it's weaker against complex chemicals. So if you have complex chemicals, you're next to a farm, you're by a port, maybe there's another technology that you use. So we use something called APCO. It's a type of photocatalytic oxidation. That's what happens in the troposphere to break down chemicals.
All right. So how would I go about actually selecting like which products are which, right? Because you mentioned that there's these different ones based on, is the problem mold? Is the problem chemicals? I happen to have pets, right? And they're elderly. So they go to the bathroom in places maybe that they shouldn't. So just as far as going on the website, figuring out which one is which, what's the process kind of look like for that?
Yep. And then one of the added complexities there is a lot of our clients are dealing with brain fog from the contaminants that they're dealing with. So we'd recommend just going to hypewear.com/consult and we'll talk to you one-on-one. That's the best bet. It's a lot of information to digest and there's some quick answers, but really it's better just to have a call with somebody and try to figure out what's going on. That's a free thing that we offer. You don't have to do anything. It's just, if you want to talk through it, we would love to kind of walk that through that with you. Cause we learn from those conversations too. We've been doing this for about 15 years. Basically every week we hear something new, a new wrinkle, a new challenge. So there's no easy answer to that. But if you have central air, So if you have an HVAC system, we say focus on that. The second priority is the bedroom. So focus on that. Sometimes it's a little bit too much to think, okay, I've got this home, I go to school, I go to work, I'm in the car. It's a lot of things to deal with, a lot of factors. So at least try to create a safe place in the bedroom and then make sure that HVAC system is working well. And that's true as if you're renting or if you own, your options may be different. But we have people in both situations that have been able to modify or upgrade their HVAC systems for very little. Now, we work with people all around the world in central air systems. So a system with like a vent somewhere in the wall or floor or ceiling. That's pretty much in North America. There's a lot of places that have nothing like that. But if you have like a window mounted AC system, those are very prone to develop mold. So we want to make sure all those systems are healthy. But then otherwise, it's the bedroom. So focusing on the bedroom, and we'll walk you through that. But if you don't have a central system, you're basically be looking at each room as its individual issue. So it's its own zone. We have a unit that covers 5,000 square feet of commercial contaminated space. We're never going to say use that unit in a 2,000 square foot home because the airflow is just not there. You're going to have different air issues potentially in the bathroom, it's the bedroom, downstairs, upstairs, kitchen, you know, living room. A lot of times there's you know, crossover. You know, you bake cookies in the kitchen, you might smell it in the master. But a lot of times air quality issues are much more like clouds than like a constant thing throughout the house. So you can have one room that has a really high humidity issue. And so you can feel pretty good that it's going to have mold issue. And then another part of the house that's not humid at all. And it's doing great. So yeah, sadly, there's not like easy answers for that. But we're just going to say focus on the HVAC if you have it. And then their bedroom. And then we can kind of walk you from there. But yeah, for like dogs, for example. So we have products that remove chemicals from the air. But we'd rather them not be there in the first place. So we're an R&D company. We invest in different technologies, different manufacturers. And one of our other companies does the five largest waste treatment facilities in the U.S. with a non-toxic, non-VOC, iodine and copper-based patented formula. So Hypoair brought that to the home with a spray. So sometimes if the dog is, you know, peeing on the carpet, you're going to need to use a spray that's not adding chemicals to the air, not adding, you know, synthetic coconut fresh rain smell, but you're just removing the odors from the pet and the stains without adding chemicals to the air. So like it's things like that. We also have nanofiber window screens. For a lot of people, it's not really that relevant to you. But for some of our clients, the only way they cool their house is opening the windows. And they live upstairs in a city next to a busy road. So we would rather have that nanofiber screen in the window to be catching the PM2.5 from diesel exhaust, pollen, mold spores. You want to stop as much as that as you can as it comes in. So you're getting the fresh air without the bad stuff as much as you can. So that's like a solution that's applicable to some people and not to others. So that's why we say just reach out to us. The website can be confusing. We're trying, you know, these are somewhat confusing topics. And so sometimes it helps just to talk through a situation with somebody.
That makes sense. I mean, being at the DNA company, you know, you can expect it's the same thing. It's trying to kind of simplify something that's incredibly, you know, complicated and just kind of dial it down to lifestyle behaviors and different things. Yeah, it definitely takes some doing. So for sure, a consult would make sense. And it's funny what you say there about cleaners like adding chemicals, because it's like you can just go ahead and clean up the area. But it's like, yeah, now we have the area and then we have bleach and everything else that you poured on it. And now you're breathing that in. So it's, man, it's such a double-edged sword.
Like with our casino clients.
Yeah.
We would advocate for purifying the air. And that was we've worked with a lot of people, but it's a hard, hard industry to be part of. And their solution is typically, let's not remove the cigarette chemicals and particulates. Let's add synthetic coconut so that now you have smoky coconut smell. Yeah. And it's like, this is just adding more chemicals to the air, trying to mask the existing chemicals. And, you know, as another analogy, the highest VOCs, so chemicals in the air that we've measured in any place is in a hotel room after cleaning. So sometimes it's the cleaning products that are contributing to these really high concentrations of chemicals in the air. So yeah, we'd rather you not add those to the air. So that's another thing is at home, you can make those decisions. If you're traveling, our number one tip for travel is just to ask the hotel if they have options for someone with sensitivities, because a lot of times they do. And we've worked with really nice hotels around the world, and every single one of them only does it, installs our technology for a couple rooms. They don't want to spend the money in the whole hotel, and they don't want to advertise it, because then it seems like, okay, here's the dirty rooms, here's the clean rooms. But what they do is they keep it for people with sensitivities. So sometimes just asking can get you moved to a room that they use different cleaning products, different bedding. Maybe they have HEPA air purifiers in there. Maybe they have technologies like ours in there. But sometimes just asking can go a long ways. But otherwise, yeah, you don't know what you're stepping into, whether it's an Airbnb or hotel room. And that's where like a portable unit like one of ours, plug it in, you go out to dinner, you give it a chance to work. Because, yeah, I mean, sometimes hotels are one of the dirtiest places you can be, both from biological contaminants, mold, bacteria, viruses, but then also chemicals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it makes sense. Because, I mean, all the rooms are, they're kind of sharing air. You know, each one is being cleaned over and over again with, let's be honest, industrial cleaning products. And you show up and you're breathing in years worth of accumulation there, you know, and I think it's an expensive endeavor for them to do each and every room if they've got a couple hundred rooms or whatever. So it makes sense. So, you got to be that person, right? You got to show up, and it may be a little bit annoying to the staff, but you still got to be that person. Hey, do you have a special room because of XYZ? Totally makes sense, man.
And even calling ahead when you're booking a room, sometimes they have it just for people that are asking. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they even have just you know, Costco HEPA air purifiers available to lend you. So, you know, it's nothing fancy, but it can get you some concentration removal. And that's what you're really looking for. You're not trying to remediate the hotel room, but you want to protect yourself while you're there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Going back for a second to what you said about really prioritizing your own bedroom, I'm such a big fan of that because, you know, we talk to a lot of people that have sleep problems. Like I always use the analogy of turning your bedroom into the equivalent of like a torchlit cave, like make it as ancestral as you can with regard to the light. If you have a way to block dirty electricity, you know, all these things matter a lot. But if you're dysregulated for, let's say, serotonin, you know, like your brain is very perceptive about different things and just smells and particulate in the air, it can actually friggin' wake you up, man. Like it can decrease your sleep quality. So I'm totally of the same opinion that prioritize your bedroom because you do spend 8 hours, you know, ideally a night at least in there. And yeah, I mean, every breath you take, like we said at the beginning of the call, there can be just that trickle, right? That little bit of toxins over and over and over again. How can you sleep well? That's when you detox, right? So it makes a lot of sense to kind of prioritize it and keep your air clean where you're sleeping.
Yeah. And like on the flip side, if it's an unhealthy environment, like we've seen that lead to really tremendous problems, you know, it's just compounds, but people that have say carpet and they don't know, but there was a leak there under their bed and they've got black mold under their bed where they're sleeping. It's just a recipe for disaster. Yeah. It's tricky, but yeah. One of the things that we try to communicate is we don't want you to live in a sterile bubble. That's not the goal here. But if you can create a safe place to naturally detox and spend a lot of your time, go out in the world and be exposed to stuff, but hopefully your body can handle it in those smaller concentrations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think that a sterile bubble, as you mentioned, is every bit as much of a problem because now you're not challenging your immune system in any way. So yeah, get a little bit of that balance, right? Go get dirty, but then at home, try to, you know, keep things as clean as possible.
Yeah. And our clients are the kind of folks that you guys probably are too, but it's like, is this working too well? And it's like, well, probably in 10 to 20 years, we're going to have to be a lot more intentional with that, where we don't want to kill too much inside. We don't want to purify too much, but the indoor environment right now is so skewed. We're not even close to that from a technology perspective. But yeah, in the future, let's say air purification technologies get really super effective and affordable, and you could wipe out everything in your house. Maybe that's 50 years away. I don't know. Well, that's not good either. So now you're going too far in the other direction. And so that's why we're saying, okay, let's focus on natural processes, natural concentrations, so that we're suppressing But the goal, yeah, it's not the goal is not to live in that sterile bubble. We want you to have just a safe place, a natural place to sleep, recover, and then go about your lives.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so where can people follow you? Do you have social media? Do you have kind of platforms where people can access you? Or is it pretty much just through the hypo era, get a consult and get rolling?
I've got four little kids, so that's where I'm found. So yeah, you won't find me on social media. But yeah, hypo era is on Instagram, so hypoallergenic air LLC on Instagram. Hypoware.com is probably the best bet. We're not the best with social media, so I'm sure we're out there on other platforms too, but yeah, hypoware.com is the best bet. You guys have a discount code for the holidays. I should know what that is. So maybe you could add it to the notes here. But if you come to us and just tell us you came from DNA, we'll give you 10% off any of the sale prices as well. And we do have Christmas sales going. But yeah, hypoware.com/consult. That's the best bet, I think, for this, is just to dive deeper on what you specifically need and go from there.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. I love it.
Yeah. All and right. And just as a note, like, we're really excited for you guys to continue to identify those genes, because like, really, like, a lot of our people feel very isolated and they feel like, yeah, they're the crazy person. And so to better understand our genes and how they can contribute to this, I think is going to be really huge for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And we look at genes specific to mm-hmm. how you deal with airborne toxins as well, mm-hmm. right? So we can point to the different areas. Mm-hmm. And if you happen to be suboptimal in that area, then it's doubly mm-hmm. important, right? It makes it yeah. that much more important. So yeah, I'm excited to be connecting with companies like yours, mm-hmm. because once we know there's a problem, all right, great. Let's identify some solutions, yep. you know? So
yep.
That's the goal, man. I think we're doing God's work over here.
That's good, man. Yeah, we didn't talk too much about it, but yeah, some of those genes are going to be producing enzymes that are effective at breaking down these toxins. And with something like mold, it's not just the living spores, but the dead spores can carry those liquid mycotoxins. We often describe them as the sweat of the mold, even though that's not accurate at all. But those mycotoxins can last for years. So even if you kill all the mold in your house, mycotoxins can last for years. And yeah, there's some enzyme-based cleaners out there that are effective at breaking them down. But yeah, if the body can't produce the appropriate enzymes, it's no wonder that these things are overwhelming you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and then the mycotoxins come from dietary sources as well. You know, like, I think that mm-hmm. it's this overloading of the cytoplasm mm-hmm. yeah. and everything else, which yeah, is yeah. different intakes of toxins. So I'll say, I mean, I highly recommend everybody out there get their genes done. I mean, have you had a chance to get yours done yet?
No, I haven't. Yeah. So like, this is the first time, like, when Michael reached out to us, that I've really heard about them being able to identify the ones contributing to this area. So that's what kind of sparked this whole conversation. And so, yeah, I'm excited about that. I think my hesitation has probably been more on the cybersecurity side of yeah. genes, but we can get into that if you want. But yeah, I mean, I think it's super valuable, you know, so it's something I'm definitely considering. And what I recommended to them on your team was a family pack. Because there's six of us, I've got four kids. Right. So like, you do like a family pack or something, because if you could identify what each of our kids is going to potentially deal with, you know, as a dad, like, that's like very motivating, right? Because then you can take steps to, you know, compensate for that.
Yeah. And let me just say, I did get my stepdaughters done. And yeah, I mean, just knowing all these little nuances to how even her gut health is going to be laid out, hormone health, right? We go over cardiovascular health. So it kind of just lets you know, like, where to steer from there. And all right, she's doing well with this and not so well over here. And I'll speak for just a second to the cybersecurity, because we do have a number of precautions. And I believe we're the only company that actually has all these different HIPAA compliance, you know, things going on. It's right in our contract that we are not allowed to sell data either. We're in the coaching and you know, healthcare business. So yeah, there's a number of things in place, secure servers and things like that. So, so yeah, you're pretty safe there with us. As far as the industry wide, it's for sure a problem, but with us, we've got a number of things to prevent that. So, hey, if you do get your DNA done, by all means, ask for me and I'm.
Yeah, let's dive in. I like it. I like it. Yeah, well, I like it. Yeah. And like on the air quality front, one of our challenges is access to good data, because the cost to measure air quality is so much more expensive than the solution itself. So I have an aerospace client. They spent something like $15,000 trying to find a chemical in one room, and they couldn't find it, and they knew it was there. So like air quality testing has a long ways to go. And so that's one of our struggles, is the access to data. And so the more data you can have that's good, you can make decisions on it, right? And that's a challenge for us, is that access to data.
What do you recommend for that then? Just as far as like, if I wanted to just test, you know, my house for, let's say, mold, I want to do that.
Yeah.
People will say, go to a building biologist, you know, get somebody to come over with meters and different things. Is there a simpler way, or is it pretty much you have to go through the rigmarole on that one?
Our number one recommendation is a $5 humidity sensor to start.
Okay.
So trying to track humidity in your house, and not just like a single point of humidity, but humidity throughout the rooms and throughout the year and based off of activity. So as an example, we had one client hypersensitive to mold, trying to take all the precautions she could. Got a teenage daughter that likes to shower for an hour a day, twice a day. Wow. And so you've got a room there that there's no point spending hundreds of dollars really to test for mold. Let's deal with the humidity. Let's mitigate that first. Hmm. We do recommend Got Mold, which is another company that you guys were partnering with, I think.
Yeah.
And we recommend them for like airborne samples. A lot of the surface-based samples for something like mold, we just see so many false positives. And even the sample collection material, like these little Swiffer things, already had mold before you took the sample. So yeah, so sometimes the airborne sampling, like when you're getting an outside sample, like a baseline, and then an indoor, that way you're not, okay, they're about the same. You're not freaking out that there's mold. You're looking for that super unnatural concentrations and types. So yeah, Got Mold's a good option, but yeah, our number one is moisture management and understanding your house, because you might have a bathroom. It's got an exhaust fan, you use it, but the exhaust fan goes up and into the wall. It doesn't go anywhere. So you're pumping the humidity into your wall. That's a purely weird, dumb way that it was built. Like, it doesn't match any codes, doesn't make any sense, but that's how your home was built. So some of it's getting to know your house and trying to find those pockets of moisture. And then of course, things like leaks can contribute to it too. But yeah, moisture management to us is one of the number ones. And some things, so when it comes to air quality testing, to back up to the broader question, if you're looking for something specific, you can often be accurate and affordable. So you're looking for CO2. CO2 can be an indicator of good or bad ventilation. It's not the full picture. You want to look for CO, you know, carbon monoxide. It's a really good thing to test for. Yeah. So if you're looking for something specific, you can be accurate. Anything that's saying T VOCs, total VOCs, I think is malarkey. We've rented multi-thousand dollars. I want to say like $6,000 sensors. And we've taken them into a casino on a Friday night, and they found zero parts per billion total VOCs.
Probably
obviously inaccurate.
Yeah,
but what it's doing is that sensor is looking for a few specific things, and then it's guesstimating based off of everything else. So yeah, chemical sensors just aren't there unless you're looking for something specific. And particulate sensors are pretty good. So you can find very affordable. There's various technologies that can look at particles of a certain size in the air. That can be a good thing. But yeah, the biologicals and chemicals are the hardest thing to test for, because you might have next to no particulates and a bunch of chemicals. And so with all the sensors, you just kind of want to understand what it is doing for you and what it's not showing you, maybe where the limitations are. When it comes to outdoors, I like a company called Breezometer. I don't actually know how you say it. It's an Israeli company, but Breezometer. It's a free for just a normal person. It's free to go on there. And what they're doing is, instead of using a single weather station in your city as the point of data, they're using a bunch of other data to guesstimate the air quality, which a lot of times is more accurate. So like traffic, topography, like heat, like weather, all kinds of stuff. So where your home is can have a very different air quality than the weather station up on the hill, whereas where most outdoor air quality kind of readings come from is these like single points of data. But if your house is in a certain valley near a certain freeway or something, your air quality is very different where you're at. So yeah, just there's lots of tools out there and there's coming to be more, but there's no comprehensive solution out there, not even close, especially when it comes to chemicals.
Yeah, I've always wondered that because in the city that I live, there's a really big pulp mill that's like on the mountain just overlooking the city. And day by day, the way that the wind is going, it changes everything about the city's air quality.
Oh, yeah.
And then you get these air quality readings when you look at the weather network and you go, right, but is that really accurate for house? Is that accurate for yesterday to today? I think it's totally different.
Yeah. And there's systems called HRVs and ERVs, which are going to bring in outside air into your home. Most commercial buildings, by law, they have to have some kind of system like that. And in general, it's a good thing. But we have people with a system that's pulling in outside air from where their neighbor smokes. So the air quality around them might be great.
Yeah.
But the air quality at their intake is bad because of the neighbor. And that's very localized. And, the difference between being, this is one of the problems with schools, is a lot of times schools are in high traffic areas. Mm. And then smaller kids are going to absorb more toxins. And then you go outside for recess. And so there's a place, I'm from Southern California originally. There's the diesel highway of death. That's what they call it. And that's for the main freeway from the port of LA, the Long Beach port there. And the asthma rates from the schools are just through the charts because the schools are located close to those areas of contaminants. And that makes a big difference. And if you get the wind blowing a different direction, now you're pulling all the contaminants that, were laying on the ground back the other direction or something like that. And it's a problem. So getting to know what's around you, with the time of day, what's going on at that time. Obviously something like a wildfire is an extreme example, but throughout every day there's fluctuations. And so it's not just is it good or bad? It's what's in it. And, things like the time of year, pollen, all kinds of things can affect it. And it's a challenge. Yeah, because what you deal with in Florida is going to be different what you deal with, in Maine or, Washington, or Texas, So there's different challenges depending on where you live and what's around you. And multifamily, apartments and stuff, is one of the biggest hurdles because as much as the floor or wall might seem solid to us, not so with chemicals, And so you're being exposed to what your neighbors are doing. And there's ways around that. Maybe you can create a higher pressure in your unit so the air doesn't want to come into your space. So there's things potentially that you can do to mitigate that, but it's a challenge. We hear those stories a lot where they're super sensitive, but their neighbor below them smokes a lot of marijuana and it's coming through the floor. Not even through the pipes or windows, it's just coming through the floor. So those are the unique situations that we have to mitigate.
Yeah, well, and again, with the consult, that's the value of that, right? To be able to actually talk to someone and explain all the different nuances to your living situation, because you're not in the Alps living in some hut, and it's you and your dog, and you're pretty much outside in the mountains all day. And being able to actually consult and say, hey, this is the situation. My neighbor smokes XYZ, right? I think that's where the value is. So I'm really glad that you guys have some kind of service. So we're not kind of piecemealing it together on our own kind of a thing.
And that's it's a value to us too, because really we learn from our clients, and the patents we're filing now are to address those situations we've come across that we don't have the best answers for their situation. And, some of those have to do with data. Some of them are modifying existing home structures that are unhealthy. But we're trying to leverage what we learned from you guys, from everyone's experiences, to try to think outside the box on how to do this better.
It makes sense, man. So again, knowing your DNA and then knowing what your home space is like, and just going on there, exploring the website, checking it out, consult with somebody, and find what's right for you, because it's going to be different for each and every person. So what I didn't realize at all until you said it was about my my bathroom fan. I didn't even think about the fact that that doesn't go anywhere.
Well, sometimes it does. So don't get me wrong. Sometimes it does. And sometimes it's venting outside. Sometimes it vents into an attic, which is questionable. Sometimes it just vents into the wall. So it just depends. And there's not an easy answer to figure that out. But if it's not venting properly, or you're not knowing where it goes, then that's a good thing to explore. So even things like, we'll get questions about mold in the toilet, and that could be from mold in the bathroom. It could be from mold in the pipes. It could be from other things. Sometimes it's the sewer vent pipe, which most people don't even know they have, isn't working properly. So when they're flushing, a lot of those, there's like a backup there. And so there's a structural issue that if you can address that, you can address kind of the root of the problem that's facilitating something like that. And so, yeah, everything from like the kitchen, like if you don't have a vent, there's ways around that. It's something we definitely recommend. The other challenge, though, is whenever you exhaust air, you're creating a pressure change, and that may pull air from somewhere else. Hmm. So if you have a basement and you have a whole home exhaust fan or something, you may be unintentionally pulling air from your basement or from your water heater closet. So kind of understanding the pressure changes in your house, where air wants to go, is going to be one of the big things to get to know your home. Because sometimes there's parts of your house where it's not getting good ventilation. But then also there's sometimes situations where you're unintentionally pulling air from somewhere else. And we see that in multifamily too, where someone might try to turn on that exhaust fan to get rid of odors, but then you also might be pulling odors from somewhere else or chemicals. Yeah.
So it might be a good idea then, right, for people like prior to even booking a consult to kind of like explore and kind of know how all their houses' ventilation systems are even set up.
Yeah. Whenever, you know, you can kind of reach out to us at any step in the process, or we could have, you know, a follow-up call or something like that. But, you know, we have HVAC filters on our website. There's nothing specifically special about them. It's a standardized system. We recommend adding carbon. But the reason why we started offering that is just to spark the conversation that, and if you don't know where your filter is or what it is, let's figure it out. You know, you can get from us, you can get from Home Depot, but let's make sure that filter is the right fit for you and that it's been changed, you know, somewhat recently. Because, yeah, sometimes it's just getting to know that house. And sometimes it's exhaust fans. Sometimes it's insulation around your windows that you can't see, but there's indications of problems there. Or, you know, there's historic leaks. Or, you know, a challenging one is, hey, you bought a home or you moved into a house, and the person that lived there before you didn't smoke, but the person lived there before them did. And so sometimes we're seeing nicotine like 20 years later, off-gassing and affecting people. Really? Long, long times later. And there could be particulates in the HVAC. There could be, you know, there's other things. So sometimes there's getting to know the current and history of your building. Maybe the person that built it didn't put any insulation in the walls to keep out moisture. So they look fine, but behind the scenes, there's mold, or, you know, you got a crawl space that's unfinished and that's where your HVAC is, or, you know, whatever it is, just trying to get to know these parts of your house. And sometimes there's, you know, somewhat, you know, cheap things that you can do to mitigate those problems that have nothing to do with hypoware, but, you know, just getting to know your house and then taking steps to fix it or mitigate the problems.
Yeah. Yeah. What about, have you guys ever dabbled in like water filtration too, or even just you personally in your career? Is that a place that you've ever gone?
We have some other companies that we've invested in that are more on the agriculture water filtration side. But yeah, water is going to be a big one. So like, as an example, we had inquiries after the, Ohio train derailment. Where's that? Palestine, Ohio or something like that. Remember that? Yeah. That was a, yeah, earlier this year, all kinds of unknown chemicals were burning. Some of that was airborne. So some of it were plastics and chemicals in the air. A lot of that fell into the water. So air quality, again, is one piece of the puzzle. And in a situation like that, we have articles on basically what do you do in an emergency? So this is not your standard air quality issue, but what do you do in an emergency? And some of that's sealing up windows. You know, oh, there's all kinds of stuff that you can do. Sometimes it's getting out of the house. But yeah, water is going to be a totally different vector of how you could be potentially exposed to contaminants. And so, yeah, we're big advocates for it. We partner with Mitolife. Mitolife is a company by Matt Blackburn. They do like water filtration for homes. We recommend them. And there's other things out there, both from like a whole home system as well as systems that, you know, kind of like the old Brita filters. You know, there's things that you can do that to deal with it. But yeah, that's definitely a thing we advocate for.
Yeah, it makes sense, right? It's the whole conversation about cumulative toxin load. Well, how many times a day do you drink water? You know, I mean, it's the air you breathe, the water, then the food, then naturally occurring toxins from exercise, right? I mean, between it all, we're definitely fighting a pretty sizable uphill battle, I would say. So again, this isn't meant to be a fear conversation, right? Or a doom and gloom. It's like the devil you know is better than the devil you don't.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So what we often focus on is like priorities.
Yeah.
Because sometimes in air quality, there's things that are beneficial but aren't necessary. Yeah. And we try to give that kind of information where the air quality in your attic is important, but it's not even close to as important as the quality in your bedroom. So you have to just kind of take those steps, you know, the low hanging fruit, the biggest impact, and then you can kind of work towards a more ideal home. But yeah, there's practical steps you can take that aren't going to be as dramatic as people think. Like on our whole home system, with the Christmas sale, you're looking at about $630 for a 2,400 square foot house with no replacement parts. And so some of the solutions are much more affordable than people are expecting. Yeah. And then there's also a lot of do-it-yourself stuff that's going to really help mitigate these problems if you can get ahead of them. Yeah, it's no easy answers, but if you can educate yourself, you can take practical steps and have success.
Yeah, I noticed on there that a couple of your products do say that there's no like filter changes required. Mm-hmm. Is that common? It seems like for the most part, filters and just the HEPA filters and stuff do need to be changed like somewhat regularly. Is there a reason why your guys' products last longer than average?
Yeah. So, I mean, part of it is just the technologies are fundamentally different. So the way we deal with the chemical is not to absorb it into carbon, although we do recommend carbon. We actually want to break it down. So same with like the ionization, you're not actually trapping it in a physical filter in that case. You want to be preventative, or you want to get rid of what's already there using other means. We see your HVAC, if you have an HVAC, we see the physical filter there. We want that to be your primary filter for the house. And so that's going to be capturing the particulates. Now, chemicals, biologicals, all these other things are a little different. And so there's different modes of action. But that's why we're focused primarily on filterless technologies that are either going to come alongside existing filters to make them more effective. And then also other types of solutions that don't require those physical filters. Now, we also have the physical filters too. So the physical filters is going to trap the stuff. You're going to have to wash them or throw them out. You know, there's not really any other way around that. There's a few variations there, like electrostatic filters, but you still have to get rid of that physical matter, you know, like a dog hair. Where's that dog hair going to go? You either have to exhaust it, you have to vacuum it up, you have to filter it up. A lot of times a really high grade HEPA filter is not going to be the best or economical solution to trap that dog hair. It's better to get in that HVAC filter. It's moving so much more air and is so much more affordable to change.
Yeah. And I noticed too on your website, it really, there was kind of a scale on there for the different particle sizes, like ranging. I think that the reference point was hair as far as, you know, one that's obviously much bigger and then on and on, smaller, 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 smaller. And you guys have products to deal with all the above to the point of being like super duper, like almost microscopic levels of filtration.
Oh, they are. Yeah. Yeah. Nanomicron levels is some of what we deal with. But yeah, human hair is around 50 to 100 microns in diameter. So we all kind of have a general idea of what that is. You can only see down to about 40 microns. The term PM2.5, which probably people have come across, is 2.5 microns. So again, human hair, 50 to 100. You know, PM2.5 is 2.5 and less. PM10 is also a thing that you'll come across, so 10 microns. But in general, it's those smaller particulates that are going to be the most troublesome because they're going to stay airborne longer. And then they're going to be more penetrating of our natural filters and then also physical filters in the environment. So once you go really small, and sometimes a intentional misrepresentation from HEPA companies is if you go really small, sometimes those particles are easier to trap. But there's a specific window that is considered the most penetrating particle sizes. Those are the hardest for a physical filter to trap. And so that's part of what we we focus on removing from the environment. We're not so concerned at Hypewear about the dog hair because there's lots of existing solutions for that. And we can recommend some things on Amazon, but really you're looking at the scale of removal is coming from your HVAC system. And we haven't really gotten too into details on that, but one thing I would say is that the blower in an HVAC system, if you ran it 24/7, on the high side is about $10 in electricity per month. The high side. Most people run it, you know, a couple times a day if it's set to auto. A lot of thermostats give you control over that. So we do recommend switching your settings to have a minimum amount of airflow. So sometimes that's 20 minutes every hour. Sometimes that's 24/7. That blower is designed for a lot of use, and you're getting the purification, even without our technologies, but you're getting ventilation that's benefiting, you know, like drying out surfaces, spreading humidity, but you're getting the physical filtration as well. And it's such a higher scale than having a bunch of plug-in units. And so sometimes it's just change your thermostat to run that blower more often. Another thing that we see is that, you know, say you've got, you went a trip to Europe, you know, for a month. Don't turn your HVAC system off. Just change the temperature, but have the blower continuing to function because you don't want just to have standing water in there, standing dampness, and because that can lead to problems. And the same is true of a lot of climates where maybe you only use your AC system during the summer and not during the winter. Maybe you have heated floors or something. Well, you don't want to leave that system dormant for half the year and then turn it on, because we see those issues a lot. So using that blower regularly can be a really pretty affordable way to get a huge benefit from the HVAC.
Yeah, keep it moving. It's like Bruce Lee said, flowing water never grows stale or something like that. Yeah, it's kind of the same concept, right? Like keep it moving, keep it fresh. And that's affordable, right? You're not even really doing anything extra necessarily, not much.
Yeah, for a lot of people, it's going to be like a couple dollars a month in electricity. And yet it's such a big impact.
Yeah, well worth it. And then, I mean, beyond that, then just, you know, start to work your way backward from there. It's like, all right, we've got the basics handled. Well, let's tackle the bedroom now, right? Let's start to kind of work our way through. And, I definitely think educating yourself about your own house is something that really, like, honestly, until today, it didn't even really occur to me. I'm aware of these things, but it's like, was at any point in the history, was there a plumbing problem? Did the previous owners have pets? Did they smoke? You know, you can smell that forever and ever. So it makes sense what you said. So learn about your house and see like what about it could possibly be damaging your health, and then work back from the problem, you know, and start targeting.
Yeah, just connecting the dots. I mean, I didn't think of it till years later, probably 8-10 years later. But when I was in college doing an internship in Africa. And I was relatively educated, relatively smart, not the greatest, but every time I went into my room, I would sneeze. Sometimes I'd sneeze till I bled. And the entire time I was there for months, it never crossed my mind that I could deal with this, that it was something that could be mitigated. Like it just wasn't in like the realm of what I was thinking. So I just thought, oh, you just suffer through it. It's just allergies or something. Looking back, I know that there's things I could do. And so for a lot of our clients, it's, you know, making the connection of, oh yeah, when I'm at home or when I'm at the office or whatever, I feel different. And maybe that's, you know, your work is boring or stressful, or maybe it's, you know, something's going on in the environment. And so sometimes it's that first step of being like, oh yeah, I knew this thing, but I never really thought about, oh, I could actually improve it or mitigate it or take steps to deal with it. Yeah. So it's that journey.
Yeah, and it kind of reminds me of a story that Kashif tells about his work, you know, prior to the DNA company, and how he would go to work and he would have this tremendous reaction to everything within the building. Meanwhile, his partner that he worked with had no reaction at all. And he was like so sick. His partner had to drive him home and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, that's where knowing the genes comes into play. Mm-hmm. Like, why am I reacting and somebody else isn't? Well, we have to bring it back to your detox pathways and different things. Mm-hmm. So, understand your environment, understand yourself, because you are your greatest environment, right? And then kind of work from there.
Yeah. And we want your filter to be the best. We don't want it to necessarily be the first line of defense, but I mean, it's critical that your own filter is working well. And then just trying to create a safe environment for you to detox and Yeah, sleep for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, it's a symbiotic relationship, right? The body, yeah, as well as where you are, mm-hmm, the way you eat, the way you exercise, mm-hmm, every little, yep, piece counts for your longevity.
Yep, yep. And we do have, you know, don't get me wrong, we do have solutions for offices too. So that's a separate conversation that we could have, and, you know, like on a consult where, you know, you might work in a, you know, 3D printer or some kind of, you know, really large car testing garage. You know, these are types of people we hear. And so sometimes it's very unusual chemicals or mold. And you're not going to change the building, but you want to create a safe place where you spend the most of your time. And so there's ways to mitigate that, whether you're in a, like a cubicle or an office or whatever it is, you know, retail setting, there's ways to mitigate that concentration, which is the biggest thing. Not to give like a complete removal, because it's, you know, you maybe don't own the business, you know, so you're in it, but you can mitigate that concentration of your exposure at work too. So there's things that you can do, but it is much more challenging because that office building, there could be all kinds of unusual activities, biological contaminants, you know, a 20, 30 year old HVAC system that's on the roof that's moldy. I mean, we just don't know. And the scale of problems could be really big, but you can still find ways to mitigate that. And yes, have that safe place at home to recover. Still see that as a top priority. And then you can, in the future, take other steps potentially to make each of those environments that you're spending a lot of your time in, you know, more naturally healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I'll add to that as well by saying, like, once you do know your genes, right, you can kind of figure out even just ways to upgrade your body's own detox, true, pathways, right? Mm-hmm. So like with what we test, it's like I can tell, you know, the level of the liver versus the level of the gut versus the level of the respiratory tract or the mitochondria, and like know where you're doing well and where you're, yeah, not, because again, it's localized, but it's also cumulative, right? So if we can help you with that uphill battle and make it so your body can glutathionize things better, you know, and then that in conjunction with the filters and all the things that companies like yours represent. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're probably going to add a chunk to your life for sure if you target, right, all the different kind of moving parts to it.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. If your body and the home was built well, there wouldn't be nearly as much need for our products.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, man. Is there anything else that we missed, or is there anything that you want to kind of say on behalf of yourself or HypoAir or anything?
Not sure. Just reach out to us. We'll try to walk you through some of your challenges, give you some, you know, frank opinions. And we have lots and lots and lots of articles on our site that get into really niche, nerdy, specific topics in this area. And so just let us know what you're dealing with. We'll try to give you some solutions.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Love it, man. And nerdiness is, I'm thinking that the kind of motto of our podcast should be, let's get nerdy. I've been kind of,
there you go,
because that seems to be what we do. Right on, man. Well, I enjoyed our conversation today. And yeah, like I say, if you do get your genes done, by all means, you can.
Yeah, that sounds good, man.
Yeah, and, I'd be more than happy to go over it with you, and same with for your kids and everyone.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Very welcome. All right, folks. Well, that's it. That's the podcast. Don't forget to give us a follow at the DNA Talks podcast. And if you want to see more of my handsomeness, by all means, give me a follow at Justin Harris Official on Instagram. And we will see you on the next one.